What is sanctification? Well, if you know the answer to that question from the Westminster Shorter Catechism, you're ready, aren't you? Sanctification is the work of God's grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God. And how else does it go? And enabled more and more to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. It's growth, isn't it? It's growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God that this growth is not only possible, but it is an absolute necessity. I think we ought to be grateful for that. You know, it's interesting to me that as we look at the athletic scene today, we can look at pro basketball or pro football, and we can look at the men from college who have been drafted by the pro teams. And you know what those pro teams expect? They expect that those young men who are drafted will grow into excellent players. Stacy King, excellent college basketball player, one of the top players. But he too is going to have to grow as he plays basketball in the pro ranks for Chicago. He's going to have to grow into a professional basketball player, because professional basketball is a lot more sophisticated than college basketball. That growth is an absolute necessity. And without that growth, even an excellent player like Stacy King could find himself on the sidelines, benched, without growth. And it's the same way in the Christian life. And I fear that today in the church, there are too many players who are sidelined. We've become spectators without growth and without real sanctification. And so we talk about Romans chapter 6 and verses 12 and following, where Paul launches into a discussion of this tremendous area of sanctification. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. In launching into this discussion of sanctification, Paul is leaning on what he has already said in Romans chapter 6. So let's understand that context just a little bit. Paul has been arguing against the idea of continuing in sin. Look at Romans 6:1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. No, we're not to continue in sin. Such a notion is to be totally rejected. The point is, you see, that the Christian, you, Christian, you are in a unique position. Look at verse 2. May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? You see the unique position you are in? You, as a Christian, have died to sin. Now, I want you to understand something here. Paul does not say that sin is dead. That's entirely the wrong perspective. The Christian in relationship to sin is dead. That's the point that Paul is getting to here. And Paul points out why this is the case. Verse 3. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Verse 6. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. You see, you are united to Jesus Christ in His death. That's your position as a Christian, united to Christ in His death. Verse 4. Therefore we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. You have been united to Christ in His burial. buried with Christ you are. Verse 5, for if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. United to Christ, you are. And what is the result of this union with Christ? I want you to notice this now. I want you to look at this. Verses 6 and 7 in Romans chapter 6. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, for He who has died is freed from sin. Do you believe that? You know, I am convinced more and more that most Christians do not believe what Paul is saying here. You have died and your life is hid with Christ in God. And because you have died with Christ, you are no longer a slave to sin. You are free from the dominion of sin. Folks, that is the gospel. The good news. You are not a slave to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, Paul is not saying here that you are sinless. He is saying that the dominion, the lordship of sin is broken. And that is a tremendous point to grasp. And so Paul says, therefore, look at verse 12, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. On the basis of what has gone before, verses 1 through 11, Paul now says, therefore, you see, because of what Christ has done and because of this vital union which obtains between you and the Lord Jesus Christ, you have died and your life is hid with Christ in God. Because of that vital union that obtains between you and the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, Paul says, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lusts. Grasp the connection here. You see, that word therefore is awfully important. Paul, based on what goes before, is now requiring positive action to be taken by each one of you and by me. Paul is not requiring some form of passivity here. I think we need to get that straight too. Forthright action is required. Paul is not saying, okay, folks, now that you're a Christian, it's time for you to let go and let God. Paul is not saying that. You know, when I hear people say that to me, say, let go and let God, I want to say, let go of what? Paul is not saying let go. Paul is saying, now I want you to take action. I want you to take hold and take action. Sometimes we are told, allow God to work through you. The problem is you're not allowing God to work through you. Paul is not saying that. Keep your finger there in Romans chapter 6 and turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 12 and 13. I want you to see something here. Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Christian, God is at work in you. It's not a matter of letting go and letting God or allowing God. The point is that God is at work within you. He is. You see. And so Paul is saying, therefore, Do not let sin reign in your mortal body to obey its lusts. It's not a matter of being passive and allowing Christ to live in you. Let me just say this about passivity. Passivity is the doorway to demonism. Not the doorway to walking with God. Look at Romans 6, verse 12 again. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lusts. You see, we are required to take action. And Paul is saying to you and to me that your relationship to sin has changed. Sin has not changed, but your relationship to sin has changed. Sin remains the same. Sin is attacking, challenging. But you are not to bow before sin. You are not to allow it to take control. Now, what does Paul tell us to give us some help here? Paul begins to tell us how sin attacks. Look at verse 12 in Romans 6 again. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Paul talks about your body. And when Paul talks about your body and my body, Paul is talking about your physical body and about my physical body. This is where the accent is. This is where the emphasis is, you see. Paul is talking about flesh and bones and glands and secretions and hormones. He's talking about our physical bodies here. And these bodies, our physical bodies, are mortal bodies. That's what Paul calls them, mortal bodies. That is, they are bodies which are dying and decaying. Now, when we're younger, we have the prospect of becoming a little bit stronger. But then when we get over the hill, as some would say, we don't have that prospect any longer, do we? We have to use our heads a little bit more than our bodies because our bodies are not up to the same tasks. And Paul is, I think, contrasting a couple of things here when he's talking about our mortal bodies. He's contrasting the mortal body, I think, in his thinking, to the glorified bodies which we will be given. I'd like you to look at a couple of other texts here. Look with me, if you would please, at Philippians chapter 3. At Philippians chapter 3 and verses 20 and 21. In Philippians 3:20, Paul says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory." What a tremendous prospect that is. These mortal bodies will be transformed into glorious bodies. They will take on immortality. And then there's another text, Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, Paul tells us how this comes about. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, he says, "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who indwells you." Praise God.
new life will be given to these mortal bodies through the Spirit who indwells you. What a promise that is. What an expectation we have in Christ. These mortal bodies will take on immortality. But there's another contrast that we should draw here. When Paul speaks about the mortal body, he is also contrasting that mortal body with the immortal spirit dwelling within. Again, look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who indwells you. The Holy Spirit of the living God indwells the Christian. The Christian is the temple of the Holy Spirit, of an immortal, indestructible, Holy Spirit. He indwells you, folks. What a magnificent salvation is given to each one of us. And Paul says that this Holy Spirit who indwells the Christian is a pledge of the inheritance which we all have. That God gives us the Holy Spirit as a down payment on the life to come. And so the Christian is in an unusual position. You are and I am. We are, as it were, caught between two worlds. We are caught between the present world and the world which is to come. We have mortal bodies. But we also have the down payment on the life to come, given to us in the Holy Spirit. And when we attempt by the grace of God very often to walk in this world, we find that these mortal bodies are a drag on us. But the Spirit living within us impels us forward, and there's this tension with which we live continually, or with which we ought to be living. Too often we forget this tension, and we live in this life forgetting that the Holy Spirit is a down payment on the life to come, and that the Holy Spirit is beckoning us to the new life, to the new world. And the amazing thing in all of this is simply the fact that as the Holy Spirit dwells in us, He is the power to live the life to come. And this is one of the great things that the Apostle Paul is getting at in Romans chapter 6. Yes, there is this tension. But who has the upper hand? Or where is the upper hand? Is the upper hand in your mortal body? Or in the power of the Holy Spirit? I'll tell you where the upper hand is. The upper hand is in the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. And so Paul says, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts. How does sin attack? Sin attacks through your mortal body. That's your weak point. There's a warfare going on, a spiritual warfare. And through your weak point, your mortal body, that's where sin attacks. Let's take a couple examples of this. The Apostle John speaks about the lust of the eyes. Now, your eyes, are they not? They are part of your mortal body. Sin attacks through your eyes. Greed, for example. Looking at your neighbor. Now, I know that none of you have been in this trap, but I have. I've looked at my neighbor and said, Why, they've got a new car. I sure wish I had a new car. Or you've looked at their farmstead and said, they've got a nice place there. I really wish we had that place. We could go on, couldn't we? How about financial stability? You've looked at their financial stability over there and said, I sure wish we had their financial stability. Sin attacks through the eyes and penetrates to the heart. And it's very easy for us to be consumed by this lust. Look again at what Paul says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey its lusts, its desires. That's what I desire over there, that new car, or that financial stability, or whatever it might be. And it becomes a consuming passion. People become driven by such lusts. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body, Paul says, that you should obey its lusts. Don't obey those lusts. You have the capability to obey the command Paul is giving you? Yes, you do. The power of the Holy Spirit in you is greater than the power of the world. You can disobey those lusts. And when you do, you refuse to let sin reign. You see, the power of sin has been broken. Now follow the injunction that Paul gives. And there is the more direct lust of the flesh. The bodily appetites and cravings. Today there are, unfortunately, a lot of people who, as the doctors say, have eating disorders. Gluttony. Bulimia. You know what bulimia is, don't you? Where these folks gorge themselves and then purge themselves through regurgitation. Anorexia nervosa. Starvation of self. And then there are the whole range of sexual desires. Sexual desires are good when satisfied within the context of marriage. There is no place for finding satisfaction to sexual desires outside of marriage. Let it be said and let it be repeated. Today, too many young people are driven by their lusts. And in our own town, there are high school youngsters pregnant because they were driven by their own lusts. Look again at Romans chapter 6 and verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts. You see, the point should be abundantly clear. You, by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, need not let sin reign in your mortal body. The rule and power of sin has been broken. And when you disobey the lusts which arise, you throw off the rulership of sin. And folks, this is the first step to understanding the process of sanctification as Paul gives it to us in Romans chapter 6. It's a negative side, yes. And we'll look further at what Paul has to say in Romans chapter 6 here in verse 14 as he gets into the positive side of talking about sanctification. But we must take the first step. And folks, it can be taken by you. Praise God, it can. Because the power to live the life to come is present within you. And you do not need to let sin reign in your mortal body by obeying its lusts. I want to give you a challenge for this week. I want you to look at yourself. Each one of you, whether you're young or old, it doesn't matter how old you are. You children, the same thing applies. You look at yourself. And there is a very specific area in your life concerning which you are aware. It involves a lust of some sort. And I want you to address that lust this week. I want you to address it directly. And I want you to apply Romans chapter 6 and verse 12 to that very specific situation. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body, as Paul says, to obey its lusts. Apply this text in a very direct way to that very specific area in your life this week. And come back next week. I'm not going to ask you to give a report or stand up in front of the congregation and say, this was the problem and this is how it was overcome. I'm not going to ask you to do that. But I want you to take the step, the conscious step, and be able to come back in worship before the living God next week and say, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have enabled me to follow this very specific injunction of the Apostle Paul. And this specific area of sin in my life has been changed. And in that area of my life, I am living a different life. Will you do that? Will you take what Paul has to say very seriously and act on it? Your life will be better for it. And you'll live for Christ in a more effective way because of it.